When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A high short kick that is going to come up and bounce at the 20. Rutgers has a chance to recover it, and they do! What a play by the Scarlet Knights!
Get it to Harper with three, with two, with one. Harper for the win! Got it!
1 and 10 at the 21. Wimsett hands it off. It's Manunga getting to the corner left. 20, 15, cuts inside 10. Manunga down near the goal line! He is in! Touchdown, Rutgers!
Now it's six. Baker making his move with five. Step back three for the lead. Yeah! With 1.1 to go.
All right, plenty of Rutgers basketball news to discuss. Coming out on Tuesday night was a report from Matt Norlander discussing the Vegas Feast Week tournament that Rutgers has been rumored to be a part of. It's been, you know, reported for a couple months now. The key piece is the NIL portion of this, which is significant, groundbreaking. And the great news in this report is it seems like it's pretty close to coming together and that Rutgers is very much included. Matt Norlander reporting on Tuesday night, the Players Era Festival, in terms of seven teams that have agreed to play, Houston and Notre Dame, remember them from the NCAA tournament not too long ago. New Big Ten member, Oregon, which is a little bit of a wrinkle. We'll talk about San Diego State, Texas A&M, and Alabama, where Cliff Omori just committed to the other day. I want to talk about that at the end of this episode. But Rutgers also included, talking about a $1 million participation fee from an NIL perspective. And the new kind of reporting on this was that it's a three-year contract. It does talk about wanting to extend the field from eight teams to 16 teams in year two. It says multiple teams in this initial pool have signed on for the 3 years. Doesn't confirm whether Rutgers is one of those teams or not. You know, one thing that and listen, this is just my take, right? I don't know if that million is based on each year or over the course of the three-year contract. He cites the $1 million NIL. He cites the three-year contract. Norlander talks about how the players will have to participate in events off the court during this tournament to earn their NIL. It's not a obviously the go-around for, you know, pay for play. You can't do that for NCAA rules. The other interesting wrinkle with this is that you can't play in consecutive MTEs year after year or 2 years in a row per NCAA rules. So it sounds like they're going to do they want to do multiple MTEs or, you know, change it up. So this year, you know, one thing is you can't play a conference foe in non-conference play, even in a tournament. So I think it sounds like maybe and this wasn't clear. And I think the biggest thing to take away from this is that the details are not 100% done. It does sound very good that this is going to happen, but I don't think anything's set in stone in terms of moving parts to this. One idea or that was floated was that maybe it's two MTEs this year, where you have almost two four-team pools, right? Where, you know, Oregon be in one, Rutgers would be in the other, and maybe it's just like a round robin. Maybe it's not an actual eight-team, three-game tournament. Who knows? Whatever it is, it's great for scheduling, strength of schedule. It is going to be streamed. That's where a lot of the, you know, revenue is going to come in. So that will be interesting to see what happens there. But the NIL piece is obviously huge. And no matter what the, you know, if it is 1 year, right? If you're talking about 13 scholarship players, and again, there's no clarity on if it's an even payout or not, but that would be about $75,000 per player, scholarship player. And then if it was a million over 3 years, that's about $25,000 per year. You know, regardless, it's great for Rutgers to be part of this from just in terms of a competitive standpoint, an exposure standpoint, but also being a progressive program that is doing these you know, innovative events with an NIL piece. It's just a great message on the recruiting trail to show that you're hip to trying to create as many NIL opportunities for your team and your players. So certainly exciting. You know, the teams mentioned there, I know people were freaking out the day before. It was reported Rutgers is going to go to Kennesaw State and play a non-conference game there. That is within a quick drive of McEachern High School, where Ace Bailey and John Michael Davis played. So an ode from Pikel to them, which is pretty cool. People are complaining, why aren't they playing Georgia or Georgia Tech? Georgia Tech's pretty close to Atlanta. You know, I think, and I don't know, but my thought is, you know, with a Power Five school, you know, high major school, you know, you typically do a home and home, right? And those are more complicated. Rutgers is maybe making some concessions here to go on the road. They don't have to have a return date, right? They're not asking Kennesaw State to come back to the rack. So who knows all the details, but I just think the idea that you get this, you know, the highest rated recruitment program history. And, you know, who knows if it was part of the recruiting pitch or not, but they're going to go back to as close to his hometown as possible. Kennesaw State, not great last year, not good last year. Made the NCAA tournament 2 years ago. I, you know, listen, I get it. It's a Q3, Q4 road game. You have nothing to gain, everything to lose. I do think, you know, Rutgers with Ace Bailey, they'll be pretty fired up to go in there. But, you know, we'll see. But that game, so we know that game is being on the schedule. We know Seton Hall, Jerry Carino doing some reporting on Tuesday night discussing that Wagner and St. Peter's are in the works to be finalized as bye games at home. Wagner and St. Peter's, you have Kennesaw State. This MTE comes through. That could be three quad one games, neutral sites, all high major opponents, except San Diego State, but, you know, really good. Maybe the best high major program there is right now. And then, you know, obviously Seton Hall, Jerry Carino sites is looking like Saturday, December 14th at Jersey Mike's Arena. That's five non-conference games right there. Talks about that there's a neutral game with a high major at the Prudential Center in the works with a third-party organizer. Arkansas was the original opponent until its coaching change. Obviously, Calipari there now. Musselman and USC. But you can't schedule a game with Musselman because he is in your conference now. So no non-conference there. But I love the idea of a neutral court game in Newark again against another high major. Hopefully the timing's better than last year against Mississippi State. And then, you know, it talks about the penchant for wanting to play at the Garden. I mentioned when the schedule came out for the Big Ten, you know, there's rumors that they were going to play UCLA at the Garden. We'll see. But you got to give, I think, Pikel and the staff credit. We'll see how it shakes out, right? But it sounds like they're willing to play a lot of road or neutral games in this non-conference play. And I just hope they beef the schedule up, you know, A, to really test this team and also give this team a showcase, right? They're with Bailey and Harper. They deserve the spotlight. This team deserves an opportunity to make some statements here. And I think it's just going to toughen them up for Big Ten play too. So I think it's really exciting. Again, a lot more to come on the MTE, but obviously it sounds like it's progressing. Also the NIL money, by the way, would be distributed through collectives. So Knights of the Raritan, again, have to imagine would be the collective in that situation. And those guys just, you know, do a great job. And then now talking about the portal, right? What is Rutgers going to do? I know fans are on the edge of their seat. Two open scholarships still. Center, a concern by many. Supreme Cook has been a name that's been mentioned. It was reportedly going to visit Seton Hall. You know, Seton Hall was in on his recruitment last year before he ultimately went to Georgetown. The thing for me that I look at is just in terms of he's coming from Georgetown. Georgetown is one of the richest NIL programs out there in college basketball. You know, I don't know the exact figure that he made last year, but you have to imagine it was significant six figures. And I would think if he was going to go to, you know, Seton Hall or Rutgers, he's probably going to have to take a pay cut. So would he be willing to do that? You know, Georgetown's a little desperate right now. They missed out on Cliff. Maybe they go back and up the ante to him and he ends up ultimately returning. He is a New Jersey guy. Obviously, the Jay Young connection for Rutgers with Supreme Cook coaching him at Fairfield is intriguing. We'll see, but I haven't heard any real traction there. Again, Rutgers is great at keeping information underground. So who knows? Maybe he pops up, but it'll be interesting to see. If I had a wager, I would bet against Supreme Cook ending up at Rutgers. But we'll see. One name that has emerged in recent days, PJ Hayes, the 6'6" wing from San Diego, West Coast Conference, very good conference. They finished fifth out of nine teams. That's where Gonzaga plays, St. Mary's plays, Santa Clara. He's got 1 year of eligibility left. Hayes played 3 years at Division II Black Hills State University in South Dakota. He shot 42.8% from three there. And then last season for San Diego, he averaged 10.5 points, 3.2 rebounds, 25.6 minutes started all 32 games. They went 18 and 15. He shot 39.7% from three, 79.1% from the foul line. And just in terms of analytics, he had 116.5 offensive rating, which placed him 344th nationally. He had a really high effective field goal percentage rate, 56.2. True shooting percentage, 59.2. Both 229 and 228 nationally. Turnover rate, low, 10.5%, 193rd. That's a theme we're seeing with guys that Rutgers has added through the portal. And then again, shot 40% from three on 167 attempts. Also shot 79% from the foul line on 61 attempts. Did not take a ton of twos. Shot 48% on 59 attempts. I've said Rutgers needs a 3-and-D wing. I don't know defensively how he is. But listen, adding a true shooter with some size that can play on the perimeter gives you some length. That is, I think it's a valuable add in terms of who they could still, in terms of positions or roles that they need still. So I would love to see him get a knockdown three-point shooter because, you don't know how things are going to go. You have guys in new roles. You hope Acuff and Durkak are more effective shooting the three in with less usage and having more talent around them. You hope that Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey shoot at a high rate from three. You hope that Martini is able to capitalize. But adding a guy like Hayes, who would admittedly be a role player, but that's all right. If you got a guy that can come off the bench 10 minutes a game, give you 3 or 4 3-point attempts, make two or three, shoot 40%, that would be a quality add. And based on his background, I wouldn't expect him to demand or expect huge minutes, But again, you're bringing in a guy with size potentially. So, and the West Coast Conference is a legit league. I know he played Division II for 3 years, but, he stepped in and he was a full-time starter for, a middle-of-the-pack team in that conference. He lit up Arizona State. He had 23 points on 5 of 12 from 3 in that game. He had, against Gonzaga, he scored in double figures several times. He had a game against Portland. He was 9 of 14 from 3. He's a heat check guy for sure. So intriguing. Obviously the staff wants to try to get him in for a visit. Nothing's confirmed in terms of reported yet. But that would be, I think, very intriguing and seems gettable. I saw a tweet somewhere. I don't have it up. But just in terms of the teams that are pursuing him, there are a couple other high majors, but definitely see he's a Minnesota native, by the way. So we might have a favorable eye towards the Big Ten. But definitely PJ Hayes is a name to keep an eye on. Big man, the search continues. We'll see what happens there. But again, I think you want to have your roster set by Memorial Day. June 15th is when everybody can be assembled and kind of off-season practice starts, summer practice starts. So you still have 3 weeks about right now. The center market's starting to take shape. There's a lot of still the NIL demand in the center market from a player perspective is really high. So we'll see what Rutgers ultimately does. Again, talked about Lathan Somerville. I think it's going to have a big role early on. Obviously, that's a little risky as a true freshman. Emmanuel Igboole, they believe in him. Has he developed enough? You have Zach Martini. So they have options. But yes, especially defensively, you kind of hope that they get a legit rim defender. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for this, five-tool center right now offensively. If you get a defensive big, something they don't have right now other than potentially Igboole or Somerville stepping up in a way that, you hope they do, but you don't know for sure. Last thing I wanted to cover was Cliff Omori committing to Alabama. Congrats to Cliff. You know, it sounds like he even had a higher NIL offer out there. I saw some speculation. North Carolina was most likely Georgetown. It was reported out there at $2 million. And then I saw somewhere that he speculated he got at Alabama over $1 million. Joining Evan Slate, by the way, for Rutgers baseball fans, the captain of the Crimson Tide baseball team, was tremendous for Rutgers baseball in his career. Transferred there before this season, having a good year there as well. So now the second Rutgers transfer hurts a little bit for sure. But, you know, listen, if Cliff is going to leave, get that kind of payout. And again, in terms of international students, there is active NIL income and passive. And everything I've read, from what I understand, and some quotes and articles, like Zach Eady from Canada cited jersey sales as a passive income that he received because it's his name. And then I know that you could use your image, right, for campaigns. You're not actively working. But to work events, to do commercials, appearances, things like that, that's active labor. They can't do that. But again, I mean, so much of this is loosey-goosey. And do SEC schools really care? Like, I mean, a lot of teams are not really falling. So how Cliff gets paid, people, I kept seeing, he can't get paid NIL. Well, yes, he can. And he's going to. And seven figures. And you know what? Great for him. I had an episode not too long ago. I didn't understand, you know, the revisionist history. People trying to talk him down. Listen, he's going to a Final Four team that plays a modern, as modern an offense as there is. Threes and shots within at the rim. That's all they shoot. Nate Oates is a great coach. They have Grant Nelson back, 6'11", basically stretch four that's going to be there with Cliff. You have Mark Sears back. I saw someone say, oh, Alabama's going to be rebuilding. Yeah, rebuilding, but like, I mean, a lot of legit talent. They're going to be really good again. So he's going to have a ton of shooters around him, and they're going to stretch the floor, space the floor, stretch the floor. I think it's a great situation for him with a really good program. So good for Cliff, and you just have to wish him well. And, yeah, it would be interesting if they play him in that NIL tournament in Vegas. That would be something. But, you know, the Cliff Omori era, hold him in high regard. It's now officially over. I feel bad for the fans that had some hope that maybe he'd come back. It's just Rutgers had no chance of being able to afford him. Whatever they may have left to spend, it just wasn't realistic. And he graduated from Rutgers. Good for him. So plenty more to come with Rutgers basketball. I think the next 2 to 3 weeks is obviously critical. We'll see how Rutgers shakes out the roster. Will they fill both spots? I still think they will. I could understand why they don't, but they got to get somebody. And, you know, again, if they add a shooter, you would think they still add a big, but we'll see how the market plays out. As much as, you know, the demand is out there for certain players in terms of wanting this high NIL figure, I still think it could turn with certain respects and you could end up getting better value for a player. Or the flip side, do you just overpay for a player because even though maybe that's not good value on paper, it's value to what you have on your roster. So we'll see. A lot of strategy here, a lot of ins and outs, a lot of what have yous. We'll see what happens. Thanks so much for listening and watching the Scarlet Faithful podcast once again.